Hi, good evening, everyone.
Hey, I'm back.
I was telling Corey, I said, did you realize that it's been, like, I guess
almost
it's been
a
basically a month since we just had just a regular stream with just me and Corey and Sandy.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah,
it's, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, we've had Keptris, we had Audie, we had Dave and Duke.
Here we are. We're now back, and there was a moment in time yesterday when I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to make it because my daughter's dance recital was tonight. I don't know why they did this. Why they scheduled a dance recital for kids. On a Sunday at 6:30.
That is pretty silly.
Yes. I mean, needless to say, this is like the third year that my daughter has gone to dance, and she switched to a new dance studio this year, and they destroyed any desire for her to like continue with it. She's like done with it now. She doesn't want to do it anymore. Doesn't want to ever do it again.
Well, I mean, that was so, eventually I hit my breaking point with scouts and swimming. Mm-hmm. I was a kid, I just couldn't do that garbage no more.
Yeah, and the instructors at this point at this place were just really mean. And it really seems like they just like the nickel and dime you. you have to buy the sweatshirt. You have to buy the sweatshirt this week. we definitely are not going back there. But, I told my daughters, you're clearly not passionate about this. Like, don't spend all your time doing this. And, why don't you find something that you're, more passionate about and you want to – that you don't want to – skip every Monday. She wanted to start skipping dance class, and she probably missed more than she went to. And you want to find something that you want to go to, that you want to do every week.
Yeah,
So that's what I was doing up until now.
All right. Well, I guess we may as well go ahead and get started with playing.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about this.
We were offered a review code for this game Venture Kid, which we had never heard of, but we don't do like reviews really, but so we just decided we're going to just stream it.
Well, yeah, I mean, we get a lot of emails saying do you want a review code? This a review code for this game is available upon request. And most of the time I don't even think about it. But this one was sent to us by FDG Games, who published Monster Boy. And I looked at the video of it. I'm like, oh, that looks like it'd be kind of fun to stream. So I requested the review code, and here we are. We're gonna play it.
I've just played like 3 or 4 minutes, but yeah, it's very very Mega Man like. Oh wow, we got a couple donations just now.
Yeah, we got a 10 New Zealand dollars from Retro Revolutions. Says good day, fellas. We've been looking forward to the stream. Good to have you. Good to see you here. He's been sending us some video of the. Of the Game Boy Color LCD screen mod.
Yeah, when I first heard of that, I didn't realize that it has like it's a VGA output option, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've been on vacation. I haven't looked too closely, but that's what it looks like. Yeah, I mean, it's something that I believe he said he worked on it with Mick Will.
Right.
Yep. And that's cool. I mean, I think that the Mick Will is, I mean, it's out. I mean, I think that Mad Little Pixel did a video. I don't know if he did one specifically on the Mick Will screen. I think he did though. Reinstalled one. We also got a $2 Canadian from Zazu. Says hello, Sires. Hope you have a good evening. I hope so too. So this game, it very much looks like Mega Man.
I don't know what the little...
He jumps significantly higher.
I guess it's definitely higher. I can tell you that it's integer scaled. But not bound to a pixel grid, which that kind of thing always annoys me a little. But it's not very obvious here. Sometimes that stuff kind of bugs me, but they don't do anything like so out of place with it. It's just that Sometimes the movement looks really smooth, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but I do prefer 2D games to be bound to a pixel grid. But more important is integer scaling, so it is integer scaled. You know, I haven't looked up the video yet, but I've been seeing something going around about a video about Shovel Knight, that apparently Shovel Knight is like... It's like a 3D engine. It's like the parallax backgrounds are like actually like
3D layers or something. Yeah,
like I don't even understand. Like that doesn't make sense because everything is like, I'm pretty sure Shovel Knight is bound to a pixel grid. So I don't. It's very strange. Oh, we got another New Zealand.
Yeah, from Retro Revolution saying it's consoleized, boys. I will send you some shorts on the video when it's done. Today it's portable and dockable as a TV console. Dockable. Interesting. That sounds cool. Thank you.
That's weird that point floats on the water. I knew it was a trick.
I like the... Oh, yep.
I had to test my luck. So it's interesting that you just like, instead of like just like collecting that hourglass, it like you...
You can carry it.
Oh, I carried it. Spots. Yeah. I have no idea.
You don't even sink into it. You just die if you touch it. You touch water.
it's like Yoshi dissolving in water in Mario Sunshine. Oh, look at this! There's like a little, it's like a little hill. Mega Man don't have that.
Yeah, I saw him before there.
I have no idea why I'm just like this regular looking kid.
He's venture kid. Oh, we got a $3 or $2 donation from Blabler. It says your show is the perfect bonus. Integer scale.
Is the
Thank
what?
You. Is the perfect integer scale. So yeah, hopefully people are enjoying the Phantasy Star episode. Really quick, we got a $10 donation from Craig Wan. It says, have you seen the anime High Score Girl before? It's described as 90 arcade romantic comedy. If you haven't, you should check it out. I think you'll love the show. That's the one that's on Netflix, right? Because I really want to watch it. My problem is that when it comes to watching shows, it's I can think of like a lot of other things that I'd rather do in the meantime, I guess. And so it kind of comes down to like really like committing to it. But yes, I do want to watch it. Oh, we got Jimmy Hoppe in the chat.
Oh wow! So, good morning, Jimmy.
So what camera are you guys using to film the TV? It looks so sharp. Incredible. Also, I love the Triforce line of TVs, and they're still in business. They are.
It's the OBS camera.
Yep.
Hey, look, this guy looks like Sniper Joe on a motorcycle.
There's a lot of things in this in the Phantasy Star episode that were all thanks to Jimmy. The Japanese versions that I was able to shoot B-roll of, the Phantasy Star Online hint book, or not the hint book, the art book.
Yeah, people should keep a lookout for some very subtle cameos of Jimmy in the 3DS episode as well.
Yes.
I there was one shot I didn't even realize he was there at first. Then I was like, oh, there he is. Leading the way ahead of me.
Yep, and I think that he will he'll also have some special appearances in other upcoming videos as well.
Yeah, like maybe gosh, like
about a month from
now. Yeah, like for about like 3 months straight, we have a lot to thank Jimmy for in our videos. Mm-hmm. I mean, heck, the 3DS episode, we probably just never would have even found that Katsukitty shop without Jimmy. Let alone actually like been able to do any business.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm glad the people ended up enjoying it. It felt like it took me way too long to make it.
You were like, I am resigned to the fact that no one is going to watch this video. It is definitely outperforming expectations at this point.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I didn't even know what to expect anymore. You know, I'm happy that people seem to like it. I was saying that I think the thing that I'm most proud of is the fact that I don't use any scans. As far as I know, I didn't use any scans of anything. Like all the artwork and everything that I show throughout it, like you knew that there was something.
Secret area.
Like all the artwork and everything was all like done in camera. Like it was shot off of the there's a NES cartridge.
Yeah, this is a. Whoa. Well, I don't know what that was about.
Oh, you got another. Yeah, you got a boomerang.
Yeah, well, I got that at the end of the previous level. So I'm playing on it. There was two modes, and from when I tested out the game earlier, as far as I could tell, there's classic mode and adventure mode. There's also something called survival mode, which I didn't look into that. But classic mode appears to be like the levels in a linear order, and adventure mode lets you choose the order.
Oh, I see. Jimmy, as far as we know, we want to come back really bad, and hopefully we will be, but there's nothing that we know of yet. Strangely, my number one priority, like that I have on my mind of what I want to get is I want to get a Japanese copy of the original Sonic the Hedgehog.
I mean, that won't be hard to come by.
No, it won't be. I mean, I almost bought one when we were there, but that's like my number one priority this time. I don't know why. Like, that's the only thing I can think of too right now.
There have definitely been a few things that have crossed my mind that I'm like, oh, I wish I got that when I was there, but I can't remember what those things were at this point. They'll come to me again.
Jimmy, I would totally buy that off of you if you're up for selling it. I mean, the Japanese copy is just the one that's like it's the finished version. It has like additional parallax scrolling, and I mean that's basically it. But it's like additional parallax scrolling on all the levels, as far as I know.
This boss is the main character in Days Gone.
I saw someone asking if I was excited for Cincy Classic, and indeed, I am excited for Cincy Classic. Are you going to be there? I don't remember
going to be there?
Yeah, yeah. I'm a guest at Cincy
Classic. Oh, okay.
That's the one
it,
day.
When is it?
It's the 18th of May.
Looks like a firecracker.
Okay, Slappy McClanahan. I'll see you at Cincy Classic. I'm doing a panel with Tyler Hogle, and we're going to talk about Night Trap.
Oh.
It's basically going to be. I mean, it's going to be more his thing, and we can just like discuss it. But I'm going to also like. Try to guide, like I'll guide the conversation as much as I can to see if I can get him talking about any stories or anything like that.
Is that a giant kiwi?
send you some toothpaste. I could send you some Boss coffee. You want? I'll buy you a Boss one day.
There was, one of my local game stores. Well, I guess I think it's a thing a lot of local game stores do is they post, you know, on Facebook if they get any cool stuff. Which I don't use Facebook, but I check their Facebook pages because they're public. And one of them got Kiwi Craze. And there were a lot of people like, oh, that's pretty uncommon. And it's like, I knew about Kiwi Craze a long time ago, man.
Oh, that's right. There is a pre-party the night before Cincy Classic at Arcade Legacy Bar Edition. And if you're in town and you're going to go to that, you can play my old Space Harrier arcade cabinet there.
That's in the one that's in that video.
Yeah.
Yeah, there have been a couple of comments recently on that a video that's got it's got like Vampire Knight and
it was originally called
a Hidden Gems video.
Yeah.
I totally forgot about that video.
Oh, you have an Arcade Legacy t-shirt, Jimmy? I'm curious how you got it. But yeah. I mean, the pre-party, there's going to be, and there's also going to be a Mortal Kombat tournament with Master Daniel Piscina. Johnny Cage himself. No Kung Lao at this one, though. No Kung Lao. Yeah, I'm definitely glad that people like the Phantasy Star. Like, I would just... I don't know if I spent too long on the overview of the series stuff, but I maybe I got carried away. But I thought it was really fun to do that. I mean, I don't know.
Pretty burnt out on the episode by the time you were done, though.
Yes, I mean, and that was a lot of that was also because I was going on vacation. I had to cram for it. So I mean, I finished it last Friday, last Friday I finished it. Not just like just past Friday, but the Friday before that, before I left on vacation. But we're trying to, you know, we're trying to stick with that every 2 weeks. Sunday is at 10 p.m. Eastern time, which I think is a pretty good, seems to be a good time for us.
Uh-oh, what? Boss was a little bit tougher than the others.
What controller are you using for this?
I'm using the Game Boy styled SN30.
Oh yeah, that's what I was hoping for. I was hoping you're using.
Yeah, this is going to be like for 2D games. This is all I'm going to use on the Switch going forward, basically. Unless it's a game where you would need to use the analog stick, I would still prefer to use the Pro controller. Like Yoshi's Crafted World, I used the regular Pro controller because that's a game where you really kind of do need to play with the analog stick because it's because of the way aiming works. And I think we got some more New Zealand bucks.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to finish before I read it. From Adam Langdon Burnell, donated $5 New Zealand dollars. Thank you. It says thank you both for all your amazing content, Corey. Your adventures with a soldering iron inspired me to fix a couple of old consoles with my dad. Well, you're probably already better than I am. But I'll tell you one thing. So I modded my first console. I released a video log on to like our YouTube and Patreon supporters of me doing fumbling through my first console mod,
which was something pretty inconsequential. I mean, it was something that's like, if you screw this up, you don't really care.
Well, I would care, but it was such an easy, like, low pressure mod that I thought, like, I felt confident that I could do it, and I was able to do it. But the thing is, what I thought was most valuable is that all the people that watched it, like, they gave me tons of like tips of stuff I should do in the future. And, you know, there's certain things that I didn't even think about or know about because it's not something that's really talked about, like pre-tinning the wires, which is where you put solder on the wire and just like make it so it's not like the little strands. It's just like one solid piece. So like, I will be doing that in the future. Like I learned a lot from the feedback that I got from posting that video. The mod still worked, but I might be going back to touch it up a little bit now. Oh yeah, Blabler says a moment of silence for the last episode of Dave on GameSack.
I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but it sounded like a great topic.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. It was good. And the ending skit was nice. It was kind of what I expected.
did it involve Snatcher?
It did, yeah. But it was just nice. Reluctant Hero says, sip of coffee for Dave. I'll have a sip of coffee every other Sunday at 2 a.m. Eastern.
Just for Dave.
Just for Dave.
2 a.m. Eastern?
Well, that's when it comes out here.
Oh.
Because he releases at midnight. Colorado time. The mod that I don't know if you're talking about what mod I did. It was just a Genesis 3 mod where I re-enabled the ability to play Virtua Racing and use the Game Genie. It was just two wires. So too many games this year, yay or nay?
I wish it was yay, we've made like absolutely zero movement.
Yeah, we made no real effort, I guess, to go. Not only that, but the week before it is my mom's 70th birthday, so I might actually go to Florida to visit her for like a long weekend at that time. So just coming back and then immediately doing that a week after. I don't think I'm going to do it. Sorry to disappoint everybody.
Well, we are going to the Long Island Retro. Mm-hmm. Was it Retro Gaming Classic? Is that what it's called?
No, it's a Long Island Retro Gaming Expo.
Retro Gaming Expo, okay.
Frank, I quoted you actually in that video. Because it showed that your picture that you tweeted about it, but then Leon was saying, oh, you should, it used to be this way, and then it was done this other way. So I ended up doing it the way that Leon said. I mean, actually, you know what? Yes, it was done the way that Leon did it, or that he said, the specific pins. But it looks exactly like yours. Reggie, I did not get Dungeon Dragons for the Saturn yet. That's the thing I almost got at Missouri Game Con, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think I saw a Japanese one. Was that it?
Jimmy, if you find an extra one, I will absolutely buy it, because I would love to play PSO online. I mean, you can play the GameCube version with, can you just put in like a custom server address or something like that? How hard is it to play on custom servers on the GameCube version? Do you need to have, you have to use like any kind of homebrew or anything like that to do it?
I mean, homebrew on the GameCube is fairly doable for us.
Right, exactly. But I mean, I would love to play PSO, but I'll tell you, man, I will tell you that Phantasy Star Online 2 is so good. I have logged on several times, even though I have no idea what's going on.
Just to like wish
and
dream.
It's just fun to play. Yeah, it's really just fun to play. And
even though like you can't navigate the menus or anything.
Right, because there is a ton of text on screen for it. But man, I can easily say that if it was localized, I would play way more than ever did even the original.
I actually the past 2 days, basically all I did today after eating lunch and up until the stream was I've been working on the storyline in between expansions for Final Fantasy 14.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'll be ready for the next expansion when it comes out or not. But, you know, because I did I had the bit about Heaven's Word on our end of the year video. So I'm right. Like wrapping up the storyline between Heaven's Word and Stormblood. And I you know, like when I went into Heaven's Word, like I was like, at first I was like, oh, I'm just gonna do the story between expansions, like I'm not actually gonna like go all in. But then like it was like so good at the end of that, it's like, oh gosh, I gotta I gotta keep going now. And I'm nervous on this boss.
I got another $5 from Craig Wan. Thank you. Because I now have new appreciation for the Phantasy Star series, thanks to your video about the first game on Master System this week.
Oh.
That's, I mean, it's a very good game. I've been playing through my childhood copy now that I have changed the battery on it.
How often do you update backloggery? You mean us? I mean, we aren't in charge of the backloggery.
Just the site or our personal?
How often do we update our personal backloggeries? I mean,
you're very, very consistent. I kind of wait a few days.
Well,
at times.
If I'm like in the middle of a big project, I kind of have a tendency to, like, if I do acquire games, like I bulk add them when I'm done with a project.
Mm-hmm.
But usually like especially if I like maybe randomly do a game store run and end up getting several games or something, like I'll add them, or like when, right, you know, if I'm on a trip, I add everything in bulk when I get back from the trip. But when I actually beat a game, I'm pretty consistent of updating it, you know, basically right away.
Yeah. I see that Frank Stresser is saying that he's going to put an FM mod in his in the Master System. I think that's what he said. I'm going to throw an FM mod in mine. What I think I'm going to do is I have a FM mod in my childhood system, but my childhood system has dark video. So I think my next console mod is going to be removing that FM mod from my childhood system and putting it into my other system that has brighter video to use as my main system.
I just got a local store had a really nice NTSC Mega Drive 2. And I think I'm going to get triple bypass in that. And maybe a region mod too. And I'm going to like have that and my Genesis 1 hooked up at the same time.
Oh, cool.
And so I think I'll use it as like my main, kind of my main Genesis going forward. But, you know, the Sega CD, of course, will be hooked up to the Genesis One. But, you know, I'll probably still use the Genesis One, but, you know, they're both hooked up. I had enough room to put both of them in my... I kind of spent a lot of time this week sort of hooking up a bunch of stuff that hadn't been hooked up, and they'd gotten unhooked for one reason or other, or some things that I needed to move.
Good seeing you, Jimmy. Thanks for stopping by.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez, we just got $5 donations. Oh, wow. Jeez, first one is from Bubba D Matt 812, $5 says, grossest game enemy or character that you love to destroy in games. Out of a tough one. The grossest?
I know that you've got a soft spot for the enemies and Alex Kidd that shoot tires out of their butt.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, that's one of my favorites. Listen, if you got enemies that shoot things out of their butts, I'm all in. But if your game has some bare butt cheeks on it, all about it.
Gosh, grossest enemy.
What do you think about it? I'll go ahead. I'm going to read this other donation here from Quest for Glory Gamer, who donated $5. Thank you. What was that old wood box display and try setup video in the background of the latest Phantasy Star episode? The wood box display.
In the Phantasy Star episode?
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to take a look, see where it is. The wood box display.
For some reason.
Oh, behind him. No, it looks like a, I think it's a speaker. One of your speakers.
Behind me?
Yes. It was like, I think.
Yeah. The tall speakers next to my TV.
Yeah. I think that's what you're talking about. Are you talking about the darker wood colored?
Unless he means like the IKEA unit that my consoles are in.
Maybe. I don't know. Let us know if that's what you're thinking about. I guess I haven't been on here since. I got my Retrode as well. So the Retrode is very exciting the way it ended up working out. If there's anybody in the chat that follows the Retrode scene, there's one person who does a lot of work in that scene, goes by the name of Ska Man, that I would like to try to get a hold of. It doesn't appear to have any Twitter presence or anything.
That's probably not worth it.
But the Retrode is a device that hooks up to your computer. It has controller ports on it, and it's mainly used because you can play ROMs. If you have an emulator, you can play ROMs directly from your cartridge that way. But for my use of it, you can also access the SRAM or the save data on a cartridge that way, and you can dump it off the system, or you can copy it back. Or you can back it up, you can do all kinds of stuff. So I was able to dump my save files and use them on an EverDrive. But more importantly, is I was able to take some of my... I was able to extract the SRAM saves from my virtual console games. And then I use this, and I could actually, if I just take those and I make the extension .srm, copy it back to the cartridge, and it worked. Like, I mean, I was able to do that with
Genesis.
Yeah, I was able to do it with Genesis and Super Nintendo.
What about N64?
I still need to get the adapter for N64, but it does support N64 EEPROM.
So you can do batteries and EEPROM.
Yeah, but it doesn't seem to work with EEPROM Genesis games, as far as I can tell. But I had to do a lot more research on it.
I think Wonder Boy might.
Wonder Boy and Monster World is definitely one of them.
Phantasy Star is all battery, isn't it?
Right. I mean, I can't think of any other thing, any other EEPROMs that really matter. We got $2 from Bubba D. Matt, who says we need a new studio and setup tour for 2019.
I don't know if I've got in me to do like a full blown video, but I definitely want to do like a casual one. Like, just for, I mean, you did a very basic one just for patrons.
Right, but I mean, it was like 40 minutes long.
Huh?
It was like 40 minutes long. The basic one that I did, but it's just me walking around.
Right, but it was like, it was no editing, really.
Right.
That's my point. Like, you know, like to do a full episode, I don't know if I can really do it.
But yeah, but I mean, it's fun to do it.
Yeah, I do want to do an update because it has changed a lot. I was actually thinking maybe we could shoot that when you were here, and then that way, like,
sure,
that might be easier to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. But anyway, back to the retro really quick. I was able to back up all my saves, and it's been awesome. Took all these virtual console games that I beat and copied them to the cartridge. And I was also I did some different stuff that I thought was kind of fun. I took save files from the Japanese version of Phantasy Star 3. And put it onto a U.S. cart, and it totally works. The only thing that gets messed up is the name of the characters are like weird character, like weird, like text things.
Like, it's not even Japanese. Like,
no, it's just like weird stuff.
What was interesting to me, I did a similar thing with the Super UFO, with Seiken Densetsu 3. I took a save of the fan translation and put it on my real cartridge, and it actually worked perfectly. It even had our names, which surprised me because I could be wrong, but I didn't think you could actually use those letters for names in the Japanese version. So I thought that was interesting.
Oh, we got a $4.99 donation from Rapid Run. Says, hi guys, I've been a fan since the RGB 200 series. I'm always excited for a new episode. By the way, have you considered a series on repairs and refurbs? I mean, as I learn more about stuff, I could see doing repair stuff, but there's a lot of people doing better work in that field than
Voltar's channel has all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I know that this Spawn Wave does like a lot of stuff like that, and he's just very good at just talking about it in the moment and describing certain things. But I guess you just get good at that kind of stuff when you're doing basically daily videos. I think he does daily videos. Oh, we got $5 donation from Tech Assistant. Says already. You guys already made great videos on how to get the video from consoles, but what about audio, like the SNES SPDIF mod for the Genesis or the Genesis YM3448? Audio is definitely something that I'm into, even more so lately, and I'm learning more about it. Like the Mega SG episode was kind of a me getting into more audio stuff. The thing is that I, maybe it's just my ears, maybe it's my age, but there's a lot of tones that I don't hear, like a lot of like noise, at times. But I think it's just more in like interesting to compare, just like, just put them side by side and say, here they are. This is the difference. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't probably describe like certain things that are missing from them, but I mean, you kind of saw me do it a little bit in the Phantasy Star episode where I'm like, okay, so the audio is different in these games, where I show like different sound effects or different like music, like the drums and in Phantasy Star 2.
Interesting. So that double jump is like a limited weapon.
The 3448 is a pretty big difference. Yeah, I mean, I like, that's something I'm interested in doing. There's a lot of stuff that I,
what is that, I'm that interested exactly? Which
the chip? 3448?
I'm really bad on the chip numbers. What is that? That's not one of the real chips, is it? Or is that like an evolved chip? It's not. Like what is? What is it?
I'm looking at. Hang on.
I do not keep Yamaha.
Because the 3448, that's not the one that's in the Genesis 2.
I don't keep the numbers off the top of my head by any means.
It's more low end but less noisy. I mean, that's something like I'll. I would like to get into. Oh, it is in the 2. Okay. But so is there mods to it? Oh, interesting. So it's not the one that is considered to be like not great. Frank Stresser, correct me if I'm wrong, but you just recently come up with a mod that is lets you use like mod NES controllers for the Master System to put pause on the controller, right? Pretty sure you had to develop something like that.
To use NES controllers on Master System?
Well, yeah, I mean, it doesn't use the NES input. I mean, you put a different cable on it, but it's like it actually has to have a mod in the system too to make it so that it'll send. Nelbear A is asking, how do you manage power delivery to all consoles? I mean, we have everything plugged into surge protectors.
I mean, don't necessarily. I feel like we have no real like special advice in that arena, really, because I mean, yeah, we just plug it all up. I mean, it might be a bad idea for all I know.
Well, I keep all of my stuff on.
The rocker
on like a power
switches.
on the rocker switches, so I can turn off the entire outlet. Like before I go to bed every night, I turn off all the power that way. So I mean, like basically, I'm not worried about it because it's just not on all the time. I mean, it's only on like when I'm actually using stuff sometimes, or I only have one of them running. It really just comes down to it. Oh yeah, I saw that you have a card to Master System adapter coming. Master System 2, right? Right. I think at the very most I'll have two systems on at one time for one reason or another.
This is a little different.
Going on any conventions or festivals this summer? We're going to lobby at Cincy Classic on May 18th in Cincinnati, but that's just because I live here. But we're going to the Long Island Retro Gaming Expo. I think it's in August, and we're going to be there. Jeremy Parrish is going to be there. I'm excited to meet Jeremy finally.
Oh yeah,
it'd be my dream to, like, if we get to spend some time with him, it'd be my dream to, maybe we can record like a guest spot on a retro Knots. That would be like, I mean, that would be incredible. Okay, at 26:38 in the Fantasy Star episode, it looks like an old TV behind Tri. But yeah, you're right though. I can go to 26.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. it's the Xbox One Genesis collection. And I had like the CRT
frame. Oh yeah. Okay,
it's kind of convincing.
Yeah, I mean, just like that, I was like, oh, it actually kind of looks like it.
It's just on the OLED though. Whew, that was a trickier boss. It's not that good of a CRT effect in person though. The way that the curve is done, there's like no anti-aliasing on the curve, so it's like it's very like you could definitely see like the stair step. Is it like?
Yeah.
But from a distance, I thought it made a good background. Oh, he gave me some sort of something to let me go over spikes, I guess. Spike boots. Well, there you go.
Simple enough. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to start on another episode tomorrow. I'm kind of excited about it. Something that's not going to be nearly as much work as this Fantasy Star episode was, obviously.
That's what you say.
No. Like this is not going to be like that at all. It's like it's going to be like a lower pressure episode.
It'll involve a lot of gameplaying while you're riding, yes. So that'll make it fun.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's going to be fun. That's good because, you know, once I finish with that'll be out 2 weeks from today. And then, as far as we know, like the episode after that is going to be the thing that we made in Japan.
Yeah, and then we'll
from our Japan trip.
There actually can't be.
That'll actually be a Monday. I think as far as we know, that's going to be a Monday. It's going to be the Monday. At this point in time, we can release that. I think it's going to be the Monday the 27th. But we'll get to announce that probably the week before, and there'll probably be a trailer for it. We got $10 from Samson's Pub LLC. Thank you. Says, would you consider doing an episode on obscure god-awful hardware, the Casio Loopy, I assume the Bandai Playdia Amiga CD32, if you only focus on good games, it'll be a really short episode.
I mean, if anyone, like, loaned us, like, all of the hardware, games, and any other oddities that would be necessary to make episodes like that, I'd totally be interested.
Yeah. I mean, I think it'd be pretty neat. Oh. Dan Sigrunfetto said, "Prima, if I ask this often, what do you guys recommend for flashcards? Any specific brand for SNES and NES? Generally, I mean, we generally go with EverDrive stuff. I mean, I know that there are cheaper alternatives out there. Just like stuff you can find on eBay and stuff. But I mean, I know there's like, you never know if they're completely electrically sound. I mean, even in some cases, that's always like kind of been a problem with older versions of a lot of the EverDrives and newer versions of some too. Yeah, SCD SNES. Good. Oh man, that's like right out of Mega Man, those things. Or anime a little bit too smoothly though.
What, the spike crushing things?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you're not far behind. Maybe things are better. Because it looks like I've dropped no frames. You know what I did? I bought a new... It actually just came yesterday. I have no idea if this is part of why it seems to be better or if it's unrelated. But I bought a new cable for connecting from the wall to the modem. Yes.
Oh, you know, I could see that happening. I had two Cat 7s go bad. That for some reason, I don't know why it happened, but suddenly I started getting like megabit internet instead of gigabit.
Huh.
Just like out of nowhere for no reason. I mean, the cables were only a year old.
You know what's a really weird? I haven't done thorough testing to totally verify that this is the case, but I don't think the Ethernet port on my PS3 works anymore.
That happened to mine. I mean, my white PS3 Slim. Just the Ethernet port just died. The Super Slim, yes. Just died. Stopped working. Like months after I got it.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, this has been within the past year or two on my regular Slim. And it was a pretty early... It's a pretty early Slim. Yeah, that's kind of crazy. Like, but yeah, I mean... You know, it's past the system's generation. I don't care if I'm just using Wi-Fi, but it's right. Kind of weird.
It is. You know what I've noticed about my Super Slim? Mm-hmm. I mean, not my Super Slim, but I got a Slim like a year and a half ago, like a regular Slim to use as like my main one because I as far as I know they're considered more reliable,
right?
And it's not huge like the fat and like I like the. I like the disc mechanism better than the sliding top. Not that the sliding top is bad. I just prefer, I don't know, like the drive on there. One thing I've noticed whenever I'm using it, and I don't know if yours does this, but the system just makes like a lot of noise as it heats up. You can hear like the plastic kind of going, it like will go. You know, it's just like,
yeah,
when something is like cold and it gets warm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't think my PS3 does that. My PS4 Pro has done that at times, but you know, come to think of it, I don't think I've heard that in a long time. So maybe it kind of worked out of that. I remember asking John about that at some point.
Just like it's almost like the plastic is expanding. Yeah. It's getting warmer. Yeah, it's warming up.
Yeah, I guess it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, I assume that it is.
That's just how it is, yeah.
So Homebrew has been achieved in the Super Slims. I would probably install Homebrew in my Super Slim. I'd be into that.
I mean, other than
how difficult is it to install?
I mean, my question is how useful is it? I mean,
right. Whoa, what's going on there?
What? Oh, riding like that spike. Yeah. I don't know. It was a little weird looking.
Okay. Yeah. The metal expands faster. The metal expands faster than the plastic, which causes the plastic to flex slightly. I guess that's a normal thing.
I want to replace, I haven't opened it up yet, but I want to replace the fan in the G-Raid, because I really hate the fan that's in it.
Oh, really?
I think I can get a Noctua fan that's like the same size.
I don't hear mine, but I have...
I mean, it's a pretty high pitch sound, so maybe it's out of your range, but it's...
Maybe, I don't know.
It's not a great sound. I don't like it. And sometimes it gets louder than other times. Like when I normally leave it on all the time, but what? Oh, I've got spike shoes, not a spike head. But yeah, so I normally always leave it on, but if I hear that, if it's louder at night, then I might turn it off.
Oh, I mean, I turn my G-Raid off whenever I'm not.
Well, it's just that I'm, you know, it's just so much.
But then again, it's right here.
So many of the projects that I'm like actively working on.
Oh yeah, are on it. So to put Homebrew on the Super Slim, do I have to actually get inside the system? That's all done through software. Okay. I mean, if it exists for the... the Super Slim, like, I would definitely install it on my Super Slim.
Yeah, you should do that and let me know if it's useful.
I got Gilly the Kid in the chat. He's saying, why haven't I heard of this? I think it's just because it comes out
Tuesday,
on...
Tuesday, I think?
Thursday, I think it comes out.
It's already, it's like, it, from what I looked it up, it looked like it was already available, like it has been available, I think, for like Steam and iOS for a while. But I think this is only a Switch game. It's in terms of like consoles. But yeah, this is a review code that, you know, like you said, we normally like...
Well, like, they said if you own any of FDG's other games, you get a... Like, if you own any of their games digitally, you get 25% off it, I guess.
Oh. Well, it's like 10 bucks, right?
Yeah, if you own Monster Boy, Oceanhorn, or Blossom Tales. I don't know what Blossom Tales is.
I remember seeing it on their website, but... Like, does that count if you've got physical?
No, it's digital board? Only.
Okay.
It's a little more than just open web page and install software. That's awesome. I mean, I'll look into doing that.
Something I really want to do is get a new DualShock 3. Oh, a shield.
But you're saying that they're kind of hard to come by.
It's hard to they're hard to come by, and it's also hard to be sure. Like I didn't realize like pirate DualShock 3s are like apparently a major issue, like to the point that
really,
yeah, to the point that like I'm like scared of even attempting to buy one on eBay.
Really?
Yeah. Because I really want a fresh DualShock 3. Because like I've got like a couple of lightly used black ones, but I really want like a colored one for my main one. You know, considering I don't even play PS3 that much anymore, like, it should really last me, you know? But yeah, like, it seems like maybe I'm overestimating how much of an issue it is, but at first I was like, oh, I doubt there's pirate DualShock 3s, and then I found out a little about it, and now I'm like, oh.
You should, I mean, I guess it comes down to getting a brand new one. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, getting a used one would be easy, but I really want a fresh one, you know?
Yeah. So I guess Blossom Tale is a Link to the Past style Zelda clone, and it's great.
Oh.
What device did I use to capture the footage for the video game commercials of 1994 video? I have a VCR, a DVD-VCR combo that has built-in upscaling and HDMI output. But one of the reasons that looks so good is because the material, like the source material, was in such good shape. It was all those, each episode of those were recorded at SP, so it, each tape is like 4 hours, or has holds 2 hours. So it's like one episode of Headbangers Ball per tape.
So this is obviously the Castlevania-inspired level. I'm wondering what the boss is going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't too sure what I was going to think of this controller at first, because the D-pad and the buttons are like higher up on the controller than a real Super Nintendo controller.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that was just like from picking it up and feeling it with my hands. I'm like, ooh, I don't know. But then, like, once I actually started playing games with it, like, I just didn't even think about it anymore.
DualShock 3s didn't go up in price. I just think that.
Well, they're rare.
The
I mean,
fakes are rampant. I mean, fakes are rampant.
I mean, it's a limited supply item. I mean, I seriously doubt Sony's making anymore, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't just go to Best Buy and buy one anymore. So, yeah, I mean, they aren't as cheap as you would like, you know, an older controller to be.
Yeah. Gerald Martin says, have you ever used the VCR to PC unit? The USB? Is it just like a composite input? ABO Hiccup says, will there be a video about RetroArch and other emulators for PC, Mac, Linux, iOS? I know a lot of people want to see an emulation episode from us.
But then when you actually got an emulation episode from us, you'll regret having asked for that.
Yeah, it probably wouldn't be. I mean, it'd be interesting.
Like, even like, I felt like I felt like I was
than us.
I felt like I was like very nice to Citra in the 3DS episode. And it still wasn't, it was still not good enough.
Like, well, that's the thing. It's like, it's very, it's that in that case, it's very, it's that is one of the reasons why I don't get annoyed with just like using like emulation is not my choice way of playing, because there was somebody saying, oh, you know, if you your problem is that you're using.
Using a Threadripper, duh! Don't use AMD processors for emulation. Well, let me just go swap out my motherboard, you know?
I mean, yeah, let me just like...
Like, well, yeah. Okay, if emulation was like, stuff, like... Was like... Is perfect as you claim it to be, then maybe that wouldn't be a problem, you know? Like...
Yeah.
Like, it's. I mean, look, I don't want to beat down emulation... By any means, because I think it's very important, but don't... The thing that annoys me is when people act like is the de facto thing you should do. Don't spend money. Spending money is dumb. Yeah,
there's a lot of stuff like that.
You know, hey, guys, this is free in all caps. Why don't you do that? Like, it's like, come on. Like, I have no problem with what you're doing and how you're playing games, but like, don't get all like in a twist about how I'm playing games. And like, it just annoys me that, like, I mean, I guess that's what I was trying to say at the end of, what episode was it? The Mega SG episode. I'm like, just be glad there's like all these options. Like, don't be saying your way is like, we talk about what we're interested in and maybe we think it's the best or one of the best methods, but like, there's never to discount other methods. Like, I acknowledge the validity of all of them, but emulation is just not something that I, you know, especially, you know, like unofficial emulation, like, it's just not something I'm well equipped to analyze in depth. I mean, I respect it, but I see it as a whole different rabbit hole. And like, you know, what we were talking about with the Phantasy Star video earlier, and you know, people were like, you know, there were a couple of comments that were like, why are you so hung up on official methods? And it's like, well, for us, those are the ones that are interesting to look at. So, like, our perspective is, like, let's look at what has been released. And then, like, if you want to use that information to inform you as to what version you emulate or which version you play on a Mister and an Everdrive, like, that's fine. Like, we're talking about the versions that are released and stuff like that. You know, it's not to discredit anything.
Right, and I think that's doing. There was somebody. There was a comment saying, you know, why was there no? Why are you so hung up? Like you said, as so hung up on official methods. You know, it's for these episodes are about the game. It's not about the platforms. It's about the game.
Oh, that guy was really.
And if it was about like, I'm not going to sit there. I'm not going to try them on every single emulator that exists. I'm going to play the games that are emulated through the methods that Sega has hired people to use with it.
And that's not to say that, you know, I mean, a lot of people, you know, make the argument that the unofficial emulation is better. And I'm not going to make an argument one way or the other as far as that's concerned, because I honestly don't know. But what interests me is what are the official methods? And then, you know, maybe you want to emulate the PS2 version. Maybe you want to
emulate the extracted
virtual console version, you know, like, right, with Monster World 4, Like, that's a great example. Like,
yeah, and I think that's just like the misconception of what those, like the videos that the like the Fantasy Star episode is meant to be, because it's more about the games themselves than it is about the platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're just going into the platforms, I'm not going to sit there. I'm like, I really had to cut back certain things during that because I mean, like these are not RGB episodes on these systems,
right? Like, you know, hit just the basics of like, what did this system bring?
And not like that, but like for people watching all of them, it's going to be like, oh, here's the part where they're going to talk about what the Super Nintendo can do.
Yeah.
Here's the part where they're going to talk about the Genesis.
Right, and like, so I thought it was only worth like, so it's like
between the versions,
right? So it's like, oh, with the virtual console, like most people hadn't been able to play these games in RGB or component before, you know, when they were growing up, they probably couldn't play in RGB. So
yeah,
you know,
but you know, it's the video on them is dark compared to playing.
Right, and what's interesting about that too is it's like. Different on a game by game basis, so it's not just like this blanket statement about how Genesis games look. It's also about here's how Phantasy Star 3 specifically looks, which is different from the others. So that's interesting, right? Because it has more to do. Yeah, I mean, it's on a game by game basis.
And that was something that was surprising to me.
Yeah, me too.
Because a lot of people talk about. I don't know why you died there.
I have no clue why. You died.
But I mean, so that's just kind of what that is all about, and why we have chosen to take that path for those episodes. And you know, like, and but at the same time, I did talk about certain things can only be done, mainly only be done via emulation. When I talk about like the retranslations or the difficulty hacks, stuff like that, you know, you can use like EverDrive's on real hardware, or you can play them in emulators. And I say that too. You know, you can emulate this stuff to do it.
Right.
And for like many people, I mean,
that's still not
something
enough.
That we did not do in the Castlevania episode. That I thought, oh, you know, it'd be interesting to have a little segment about these versions. Mm-hmm. Because
we probably got away with it more easily in the Castlevania episode because. There was fewer versions to analyze.
Right.
So, like, but with this, like, you're talking about emulation left and right. Okay, yes. I think I know what's going on there. I think...
There's
that's not where I'm supposed to go anyway. Like, maybe there's, like, a spike at the top of the screen. I'm not sure.
But yeah, I mean, like emulation is totally fine. I mean, and like the Mister is great, but I mean, like in terms of, like someone said, oh, why was there no mention of the Mister in here? And I mean, because honestly, like it's playing the ROMs of
right.
The game.
Right, and two, like the Mister is changing so rapidly, like it's.
Yeah,
I feel like it would be outdated pretty fast, the information that we would have available.
And the only reason I think I mentioned the Mega SG is because I only mentioned that in relation to the original cartridges.
Right. So, I mean, I mean, if someone wants, like, in my head, like, what my mental breakdown of what I personally am interested in looking at, like, I feel like this isn't something that like I vocalize in a video because I feel like it wouldn't, there's no easy way or clear way to put this. And I don't think a lot of people would necessarily think in these terms, but for me, I'm interested in the original cartridges. How can I play those original cartridges? Then what are other ways to play on original hardware? And then what are the official versions released? But less so, how can I unofficially play these on a way that isn't original hardware? If that makes sense? Like, that might seem like kind of a weird distinction, but that's just like, I mean, that's just where my area of interest and, you know, what I'm really equipped to analyze and look at. You know, I mean, I I'm not afraid to admit what I don't know a lot about.
Right. Yeah, I have no problem admitting when I'm wrong about something. As well.
I mean, that's why I went to great lengths in the 3DS video to be like, hey, here's a simulation thing that we're going to look at more in depth than we really ever normally look at a PC emulator. And, you know, but disclaimer, I don't like this part.
Yeah, I don't know why it's killing you there.
Disclaimer, we're not experts at setting up emulation. Well, don't use an AMD processor. Okay, come on. I mean, you know, this is...
I mean, I guess, like, I did definitely miss on mentioning, like, maybe, like, the at-games systems. I thought about it at one point, and then I realized that it'd be like $65 to go get one. I'm like, I'm not gonna go pay $65 to see how the built-in version of Phantasy Star 4 sounds or looks and sounds.
Yeah.
And I'm just gonna skip the ad games because they're pretty universally considered to be not great anyways.
Yeah. I mean, it would be interesting if you just so happen to have one.
If the Genesis Mini was out, but when I was doing this, I would definitely address that, probably. Can you... Oh, so you can just...
Well, I use my spike boots, but it's not going to help me up here. Okay, I can just walk across that. I was just being too jumpy. I don't think I could walk all the way across the first one, but I guess that second one I can.
$65 just to hear that audio quality. Yeah, you know, my second favorite part of the episode is probably the Dreamcast audio comparison, because it's I feel like the audio quality in the Smash Pack just gets funnier every time I hear it.
Oh, here we go. Is this going to be our boss rush? Or is this going to be more like a Bowser's Castle situation?
Kathleen Delcourt, I totally agree. It's just that, you know,
Right, I mean, that's something we've tried to... state more clearly, I think, and especially in the Mega SG episodes, like, it is a sort of emulation, but, like, you know, it has nothing to do with saying one thing is better or worse than another, I guess, you know?
Yeah. I mean, generally, we try to stay away from saying one thing is really, really bad unless it's like the Sega Smash Pack on the Dreamcast. But I mean, maybe some people had their first experience with the game that way.
Yeah, and then they want the Mega SG to emulate the Sega Smash Pack.
Yeah.
I doubt that's even technically possible.
I think it is possible. I think you can use one of the different sine waves to be able to do it.
Do you think? I mean, I was...
I bet you could get pretty close with it.
That would be so interesting, actually.
Retro Gaming Systems Collectioner. I probably will not be doing... Like, don't... I need to... do a lot of other stuff before I can even consider doing that. Fixing an original Xbox on a live stream. No, that's still a long ways off. ABO hiccups. I've not used an Easy Flash Omega, so I can't comment on its quality. Oh, you got like a shield.
Yeah, I mean it's a sub weapon. I'm not using it very well. Yeah.
Oh man. I feel like comparing to unofficial solutions may bring some more context to the official ports. Especially in regards to sound, as it says to demonstrate the correct audio is possible with emulation. That's a good point. I mean, I could see doing something like that maybe as like a tiny little like quick paragraph in a future episode that's similar. That does make a lot of sense. But I mean, a lot of times, some of those older ports, I think it's interesting because of like the time that they were made in too. Like especially like the Saturn collection. I mean, those are pretty interesting, having been done in whenever they were, like 97 or something like that, or 98, I think it was.
We've both made mistakes recently where we did our comparison labels incorrectly. Like I feel like that's like becoming a real problem for me because like I just like,
well, this
I
was,
just like don't even see it anymore. Like once
it was,
I like
it was
start
only
editing
in one of
episode.
The it was only in one of the three comparisons that were all in a row. It's just that I guess I just put it in the wrong window.
Yeah. Well, it should be obvious if people are understanding what you're saying in terms of like what it's doing, like they shouldn't be confused.
Right. I mean, I have fixed it, and I also spelled Ryoko Kadama's name incorrectly in her lower third. I put the E before the I, and I fixed that for, you know, I uploaded it to Amazon Prime, and it'll be both of those things will be fixed in that version. But until YouTube eventually has a
re-upload feature, which it never will, probably.
Right. I mean, Vimeo does it. I think is awesome, but they're more geared towards the video professional.
Right. I mean, like, is there even monetization on Vimeo?
I don't know how it works. Honestly. A video about dumping ROMs from physical cartridges and virtual console legality without downloading ROMs from the internet right now. Nintendo's taking all ROM sites down for piracy reasons. I mean, I could see putting something a little bit like I'll mention that in the Retroad episode. But the Retroad thing is going to be about the save files. That's like really I'm strangely passionate about save files right now. I don't know why, but
I mean, you've always kind of been.
I have been, but like recently, I've been really become extremely passionate about preserving save files, restoring save files, transferring save files, backing them up. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I'm weirdly like into it right now. It's kind of silly. But yeah, I mean, let me grab it. This is the Retroid right here. It's just like a little thing.
Okay.
And it just like opens up and the cartridges go in there. The cool thing is you don't even need any software to run it.
Really?
It plugs in USB and it just like the game shows up as it's almost like you plugged in a USB drive. It just shows up as a drive on your computer.
So how do you dump then?
You just use Windows Explorer to copy it and paste it.
What? It can't be that easy.
It is that easy.
What? It blows my mind. There's no software.
There's no software.
It so has you just a, like you can literally put a game in there and just like click and drag and you've dumped your ROM.
Yes.
What? Like you don't have to like identify like what map like can it do like complex mappers and stuff?
Well, that's gonna be about your that's gonna be up to the emulator that you're running it in to deal with that.
Oh, okay. Well, but like on the NT Mini when you're using the copy NAS, like you don't have to do this on like Super Nintendo, but for NES, on the copy NAS on the unofficial firmware, there you have to select a mapper when you're dumping.
Okay, well, there is no, as far as I know, there's no NES support for this.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure if anybody is working on an adapter. I like if anybody in the chat like follows like the retro scene at all, and like you know is involved in the retro scene. I would love to talk to you about it.
Right, because I mean, there's probably so well, one much thing is that we don't even know about. But you know, we're going to do a video where that's going to be a major part.
Right, and not only that, but I mean, there's a lot of other stuff. I'm going to get the plug-in add-ons for the Master System, N64, and Game Boy. But there is right as it is, it does not support games that like Super Nintendo games that use the SA1 chip. Like they won't show up. But somebody like made an adapter that will work, that will make it so they work.
Oh.
But it's like kind of a homebrew thing, so that I don't think that they're available to purchase. But there's a guy in the scene that I really want to get a hold of, and he's the one that kind of makes a lot of stuff. And he just made like an adapter for the Virtual Boy that will work with it. So he's like, he goes by the name of Ska Man. So he's the one that kind of is like maybe the main guy in the scene right now. Cause I know the person who originally made it does not do anything with it anymore.
Even though this is, I thought this was a new retro though. I thought it was like a new model.
Well, this is the retro 2, but I think that it's the retro 2 has been around since like 2014 or okay, something. Okay.
Well, there was like, I guess I'm just confused. Cause I thought that Retrode was like not available anymore. Now all of a sudden it is. So I thought it was because it's the Retrode 2. Or does that have nothing to do with it, I guess? Like why does Stone Age have them all of a sudden, I guess?
Because they're still being produced.
But for a while I thought they weren't.
I think some other place is producing them now. But yes, I think that maybe somebody else like bought the rights to do it. But yeah, I mean, I want to get that SA1 because I really want to transfer that Super Mario RPG save file from my virtual console. Like that's kind of that was the game that kind of got into this. Like that was the whole reason that this happened.
I would love to replay Mario RPG. I bet it would not take me very long. Well, I haven't played it since I haven't played through the whole game since maybe before college.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have a desire to play through again.
I mean, I definitely do. But I know the game pretty well. I mean, I'm sure I'm rusty, but...
So, Frank Strasser, do you have any contact with like people on that scene at all? I know I think I saw you saying something about it earlier, but I'd like to talk to you about it more. But if you know anybody that does,
it's a game saved. Hopefully that's a checkpoint. Okay, yeah, that's looking like the end of a level.
That was a little bit
tougher. It was a lot tougher. Okay, so there's several levels in the Space Fortress. Like, when I was reading about the game, it said that, you know, there's 9 levels, so I guess there's... I was thinking that the Wily Fortress was just going to be 1 level, but I guess not.
Is there supposed to be no game audio? Do you have game audio going in?
It should be going in, but it's probably pretty low. Yeah, I mean, it's showing actually pretty good levels. You know, it's happened before where for some reason I'm getting levels, but it's just not going out to the stream, even though it's not muted. So I don't know. It's getting levels. So I've fixed that by either restarting OBS or restarting my computer. I don't want to do that at this point, but I'm surprised to hear that there hasn't been game audio.
No, it's there, but it's very quiet.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure it's quiet?
Don't worry.
You might be hearing it off of my speakers.
MIRLR is saying that Merler. Maybe that's how you say it. It's fine. And Ryan Scott Adkins is saying he hears it fine too. I gotta go to the bathroom. I'll be right back.
I'm curious if the initial crop of levels would be the same difficulty on the adventure mode, where you can choose the levels in any order, because they definitely got harder. Oh, come on. It definitely got harder as the game went on. If I can buy anything new in the shop. Got a new Rav HP. That's nice. But I should only buy that when I really want it.
Alright. So, I went to, when I was in Myrtle Beach last week, I went to Player's Choice in the Myrtle Beach Mall.
You almost bought a,
I almost bought a Alicia Dragoon, but there's no manual with it. So I was like, I'm just...
I would have bought it.
Really? Well, I didn't. I did. They did have a number of issues of Nintendo Power, so for like $4 or $5.
Which ones did you get?
Yep, Darius Truxton. I went there because you recommended it. I did not play anything in the arcade. I got 2 issues of Nintendo Power. I got this one right here. Has Secret of Mana on the cover.
Okay, I don't have that. Oh, is that Flammy on the cover? Or
yeah, it's like a horse. It's supposed to be. Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Yeah. Looking.
And I got this one that has Illusion of Gaia.
I've got that one. Someone in high school gave me that. issue.
The Illusion of Gaia one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, looks like look at that. It has the poster with it too. The poster's Earthworm Jim, but it has a fold out map of Final Fantasy 3, and that's
World of Balance or Illusion or Ruin.
What's that?
World of Balance or World of Ruin? World.
Yeah, it's both.
Oh.
Yeah. Gerald Martin, Roanoke, Virginia for Game Junkies or Blacksburg for Super Game Station. Have you ever gone to... Try and I went to Lost Ark in Greensboro, didn't we?
Yeah.
That's what... We stopped there when we came back after we shot some stuff. After we shot the Limited Run Games documentary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the only time I've been...
It was almost 3 years ago now.
Yeah, that's the only time I've been there.
That was... We went there right before we went to the... place and scored all those PVMs.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, this has, you know, I just got issues of the magazines. They have stuff on the cover that I almost got one. They had Mystic Quest on it.
Wow.
Or, yeah, not Mystic Quest. Magical Quest, the Mickey Mouse.
Is it weird that
really quick, we got a $2 donation from JF who says Last Armageddon on PC Engine CD has a sick battle theme. I'm not familiar with the game. I'll check it out.
Is that an RPG?
Last Armageddon. I mean, it could go either way. Be a shooter or an RPG. It's a sports game.
Is it weird that I see this dark green background and my mind is like auto filling in jail bars that aren't there?
Yeah, that's a little weird.
It's like that color is like triggering my jail bar sense.
it's an RPG about demons fighting to decide who takes over the earth after the apocalypse. That's kind of cool. There's Pac-Man 2 in this issue. Power Rangers. There's one with Mortal Kombat 2 on the cover as well. I should get. Wow, this has a lot of Final Fantasy 3 stuff.
That's good.
And Donkey Kong Country. It's inside coverage of this year's hottest Super NES game. Donkey Kong Country Exposed. So yeah, I mean, I'm not big on Nintendo Power, but I will...
Are these your first ones?
No, I have some other ones, but... I just got these because... Felt like I couldn't go there and not buy anything at all, period. So I was like, I'm going to get a couple of issues of Nintendo Power because they're not expensive. We got a 2-pound donation from Hyper who says, jail bar senses are tingling. Thank you. There's some decent game stores in Greenville, South Carolina, too. I do IT for a friend of mine who lives there. Yeah, I mean, it was not possible for me to go much further than I did.
You'll definitely have to hit up the game stores around here when you come next month.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, wow. Is this the last level?
Yeah, it's Techlov. Tech love. You're here right on time. He basically is Mega Man without a helmet on.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on VR and the upcoming headsets from Oculus and Valve? Do you think standalone headsets like the Quest is what your market needs for mass adoptions? A standalone headset would be really cool. I don't even know anything about the new ones from Oculus and Valve. I do know that I like VR more than I ever thought I would. Is it true that Dave is leaving game? Dave is leaving my life in game. It took me a second. Yeah, actually, Tri is joining GameSec and Dave's joining.
That would be like so hilarious if we actually did something stupid like that.
Like with like weeks of build up saying like I'm leaving.
And we just do like a trade.
Yeah. Do it for one episode. I mean, that would take some serious planning. That's not just something that just happens. Like, we'd have to go there and... Well, we'd have to... Like, one of us would have to go there. For sure. But we could do it the other way. Whoever's gonna come on to our show wouldn't have to be there.
Yeah.
That would be funny. That'd be pretty good.
Maybe we can bring Dave out of retirement for next year's April Fool's.
To do it, yeah. I'll mention it to Joe of like if there's any way that I feel like you would fit on
GameSec better than me.
I
can just imagine. I can really imagine you in the. That's right, Joe.
Yeah, I think it would be kind of fun. It would be kind of fun to do that. I mean, that would be kind of a cool approach if
Joe like, wanted to have guests
for like I've never worked out like yeah. Like every once in a while for Joe to have like a guest host.
Yeah.
With them, I would go
through all the effort to record those games and do the VO.
Yeah,
right. Do it. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Just you know, it would just be like every once in a while thing. We were in a skit. It was like a year ago now. I think it was like exactly crazy. A year ago.
Well, that's when we shot it. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Like a month or two later that the episode actually came out. It's so crazy to think how long ago that was. I can't believe
it. I know. It's like. Yeah. But it would be fun to do that. I mean, like if I was ever there, like I would love to record like a. I think that that's what he's gonna end up doing with the playing with Sax, Let's Play thing that he does that they did. He, like it's done, but he says you know occasionally he'll do them when you know you have somebody on. With them, probably. I think it'd be awesome to do that. Why do you choose to use it there specifically?
What? Well, I mean, I can't hold on to it forever, and that laser feels like it's almost definitely going to hit me. I don't even know why I'm continuing because I'm on my last life.
You're scoping out what's ahead.
I mean, I did get to the boss. I mean, he's got a second form, so I'm going to guess that's the true final form. Unless, you know, he pulls a Mega Man 2 Wily. And, you know, you got another form on another stage. Hey, Sandy. What's up?
I think it's Karnoff is better with a... Or, no, it was Karnoff.
What?
Or was, I mean, because...
The bad guy is Teklov.
Yeah. Mishby is saying Rygar is better with composite than RF. I'm pretty sure... Rygar would have been my second choice after Karnoff. That's something I've not played. Did you ever play the PS2 version of Rygar? I feel like he played through that for some reason.
Oh, I've got the PS2 version of Rygar. I got it not that long ago. I've always played through the NES version. I tested it out. It seems okay. I mostly got it because Dave on GameSack said this is a pretty interesting game. I need to learn to let this guy jump over.
I'm not familiar with Ross Scott of Accursed Farms and his war on games as a service. He's like riding around in Gutsman's body. Please continue.
This is the time.
Does anybody in the chat feel like this is a game that they're interested in?
It's grown on me over the course of playing it. Like at first, like it was so easy as to like almost be completely inconsequential. But you know, I'm only playing on normal, so it'd be interesting to see if the other difficulties are more interesting or the adventure mode. I mean, it's, you know, it's good, you know, it's certainly not like, you know, any sort of crucial must-play type of thing, but, I mean, for a $10 Mega Man-like, I mean, I think it's solid.
Oh, yeah, Rygar PS2 is also on Wii.
Really?
But with Waggle. I don't miss Waggle. I don't miss the word Waggle either.
I have never been anti-Waggle. I mean,
well, no, I. But I don't. I was never anti it, but I don't miss it.
Yeah, I mean, the one time that I kind of missed it was when. I was recording New Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe.
Yeah.
I died in the same place, and I should not die there. I was recording New Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe because, you know, that I'm just going to kill myself. That do you want to sit up here, Sandy? Okay, I'll put the recliner up. You can sit here. That game has some weird mechanical stuff going on. The Switch version of Mario U Deluxe. Sandy, don't lick my leg. I can't platform if you're licking my leg. I mean, so you know, like the little twirl thing that you can do in.
Mm-hmm.
In the Wii and Wii U games, like, for some reason, that always felt right to me to be on Waggle, and it felt kind of weird for it to not be on Waggle on the Switch. which I think you can if you're playing it in handheld mode. I think you can do that. But here's the weird thing. By default, you... Sandy, don't lick my leg. By default, you... like do another twirl when you hit the jump button again, which at first I thought, oh, that's handy. But then the problem is if you're like trying to like hit the jump off of the ground, but you hit the button like too early or something, then you'll like do a little twirl instead of doing your double jump. And if you're trying to like, you know, jump off of a Goomba and get extra height on your jump, like, it really screws that up. And there is no obvious in-game option for turning it off. But there is a weird... you, like, hold a button combination or something on the title screen or something, and it makes this obscure sound effect, and it doesn't even trigger every time correctly. It's really strange. But there is a way to turn it off, but it's, like, completely hidden and kind of hard to do. And it mechanically, it makes the game way worse.
Why would they do that?
I don't know. Like, at first, I thought it sounded like a good idea. But after a few minutes of playing, you're like, oh my gosh, like, I can't. Like, because you can, like, preload, so to speak, your jump, your extra height jump. Like, if you're in the air and you're falling towards an enemy, like... I'm pretty sure you can hit normally in Mario, unless I'm thinking about this wrong. I'm pretty sure you can hit the button again at any point during the jump. I don't think it has to necessarily be timed to hitting the enemy. And you'll get extra jump off of, you know, the next enemy you fall onto. You know, so you can preload your bounce, basically. But yeah, it don't work that way, or it doesn't work very well. It's a bad decision. I could be wrong, but I feel like there might be more lag in that version as well.
Interesting.
Something about it just seems a little off.
Brian Bowersock is asking, What's our most wanted console to get FPGA version? Again, FPGA version for that sweet HDMI goodness.
I mean, I think everyone's most wanted is like N64 or PS1.
Yeah, I would not.
N64 is like not happening.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't even know what I'd like a consoleized. I mean, I guess the consoleized Game Boy Advance takes care of that too. I mean, if a Game Boy Advance FPGA was created, I'd be interested in that. You know, it plays all Game Boy games on a TV cartridges. I think I'd be interested in that.
Well, I mean, you know, I've got the Game Boy, the GBA consoleizer hooked up right here.
Right, I know, but. In terms of just like an FPGA system, I mean, PC Engine would be cool. I mean, I could see PC Engine being.
I mean, of the awesome ones that are realistically going.
If they played CDs too, if it played CDs.
Sandy, I love you, but this isn't the time for you to be crawling all over me. Okay.
You don't have the time nor the inclination. Yeah, Sandy. Up in your. There's a comment on the video from Joe.
Oh yeah,
who says I want try as a woo boy as a ringtone, and I'm going to oblige that. I'm gonna give it to him. I'm gonna give it a WAV file of that. Woo boy, that's pretty bad.
Pyron Slayer,
good night.
Oh, I beat him. Is it truly the end though? I like how he's just like three times Venture Kid's height.
I see Pyron's lair was in the chat. I think he might have left. No, I mean, I'm checking. Is it the same Pyron?
Oh, no.
The color? Oh, you got to get all the treasures to get the real ending, right?
I guess.
I mean, I probably missed him now. But Pyron, if you're, oh, okay, he is still in the chat. Maybe if you're in the chat, right? Okay, so I might send you a message about what I'm working on for my next episode, because it kind of relates a little bit to the work that you do. Pyron does the color hacks, the color restoration hacks.
Oh, like the Mario Land one?
He did the like the Golden Axe.
I was thinking
the color restoration stuff.
My mind was in Game Boy Land for some reason.
I know. I think I followed you recently on Twitter. I will send you a message on there, because I'm working on, and my next episode is going to have something to do with hacks. And it's like you got quite a bit of stuff. Like, I'm looking at your YouTube page right now, and there's certain things that, I mean, I might be nice to get some recommendations from you, or just even talk about your work a little bit.
Okay, so if I wanted to, I can go back to these levels and get
the treasure. Oh, so you're missing the gold things, right?
I had half of the treasures. So.
Oh, I see.
So I didn't spoil the true end. I'm really curious how if I go to adventure mode. This file, like, I can start on any level,
right?
So I don't know if anything else is different. Like, I don't know if, like, the castle level, for example, was a lot tougher. I don't know if, like, maybe there's, like, more of, like, a weakness cycle or something like that. I don't know. I have no idea. Why don't I play one round of Tetris to close this out? I don't think I've played it with the SN30 Pro.
Have you played it quite a bit on here?
Not a lot. It's fun to do every now and then, though. I'm only level 9, whatever that means. Just one round of Tetris 99 is like just one potato chip. I mean, depends on how bad I do.
Pyron, I haven't messaged you yet. I plan to. It'll probably be tomorrow when I do it. Let me make sure that I got you on here. I'm gonna send you a message tomorrow. I just want to talk about Just make sure I have it. Yeah, okay, yes, I am following you. Okay. I will probably send you a message tomorrow. I'm just working on my next episode is going to have something to do with ROM hacks. So I kind of, like, I'm curious, you might have some good recommendations. I mean, should I just say what my next episode is going to be?
Yeah, why not?
I'm going to be working on something. Like, I wanted something that was, like, a little bit easier, especially since just something I could kind of do without, like, feeling like I wanted to die. after the Phantasy Star one, kind of, it took a lot out of me, even with the vacation. I want to do... you got a $5 donation from Aspernari, who says, just one game. Right.
We'll see. Maybe I can prove you wrong.
I want to do an episode on on what I like to consider like good game hacks that are like actually are useful, because I feel like so many hacks are just like, oh, let's look at this really crappy game hack. Oh, look, it's like, you know, Sonic's fat in this, and it's like it's terrible. But I like, as you said, I want to focus on game hacks that like actually have a utilitarian. Is that, that's what you said, like a purpose, like, yeah, a utilitarian, like a more that are useful, that are like something that like we could actually see ourselves.
Right. Because like, I'm not using, like, really into hacks either, but like, if you could show me some, that are like, oh, like this is useful because, you know,
yeah, stuff that like, you know, like some of them are not complete like overhauls or anything. Yeah. Quality of life and like improvements, like maybe like a, you know, like people added in saves to like Mario 3, so you don't have to play through the whole thing in one sitting.
That's not hard.
I understand that, but I mean, like, it's kind of a good, like, it's a like good quality of life stuff, like delocalizations, I think, are something that are not celebrated enough. Like games where, you know, maybe bad changes were made to US versions, but you can have like the official translation with the superior elements of the Japanese version. Like, we kind of did that with Ninja Gaiden 3, like you talked about that. But I mean, you think about like Streets of Rage 3, yeah, like the map for Metroid for NES, like that kind of stuff is good. It's like, it's like,
oh,
really,
I did not mean to head up there.
Yes, well, you see, Massage Gradzicki, I'm sorry if I'm saying it wrong, but yes, that is something that I'm majorly going to do. That was like actually the thing that spurred like me wanting to do this episode, is because of the unworked designs hacks that, you know, keep the translation but do away with all the kind of questionable gameplay elements and difficulty changes that they made. Like the fact that you have to use magic points to save your game in Lunar 2, stuff like that. Like it was specifically the unworked designs stuff that got me interested in making this episode, because those are the kind of hacks that I'm interested in. And I think that'd be a fun episode. I think that people will probably be interested in that, because so many like videos looking at hacks are just like, oh, you know, like it's just like focusing on like insane difficulty stuff, like the Kaizo Mario, or like as I said, like that's my favorite one. It's like, oh, this one, it's hilarious. Sonic's fat, you know. It's like, that's the game. It's like he's can't eat it, so many rings because they're like donuts or something. I think I played it.
Someone told you to play it on a stream or something.
Yeah. And, you know, like, there's certainly, like, a value to it, but that, like, those kind of hacks have no interest for me. So I thought it'd be more fun to do, like, a video on hacks that are actually, like, useful and good. You know? Because mm-hmm. I think...
I get you.
So, I mean, I don't think that it'll be interesting to everybody, but I think that it's kind of cool, you know, seeing like the Contra hardcore, like playing Contra hardcore, but all it has restored is the, like the life bar from the, like being able to take 3 hits mm-hmm. from the Japanese version. I mean, that's could make people more interested in playing them, for one.
Ah, that's the end. What did I get? 22. That's not bad. That's not bad. That's fine. Yep, I'm just going to play one. Closing now. Done. Told you I could do it.
I mean, there's probably tons of stuff that I haven't even thought of. in terms of like those kind of hacks. And I mean, like the Metroid map hack is like something that is something I didn't even think of until it was mentioned here. And I know that there's just a ton that, I mean, I'll do as many as I can. But I mean, especially like Pyron's, like color restoration hacks, those are good. So I guess think of it as a way that, you know, on the EverDrive episodes, when I show like, here's some hacks that we think you should check out. Imagine that idea like spread into like an entire episode. So that's gonna be my next episode. So look for that in 2 weeks.
Nice. We're holding you to it. 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, I'm intentionally going in and making, like, it's gonna be a lot of gameplay, by probably very very minimal B-roll.
Like basically, like, let me look at the calendar. Like, you're coming here, like the 10th. So, like, I would say, like, by Friday, like, you need to be, like, whatever you have recorded, whatever you have written, like, by Friday, you just, like, gotta cut it off, have your script polished by Saturday, and be editing by Sunday at the latest.
Right. That's the plan. I mean, I'm feeling pretty intense about it, but, I mean, now I think if I'm gonna be there by the 10th,
see, Colin Barons asks, what about, which, thank you for the $2, by the way, what about Pokemon ROM hacks, completely new games? Like, I think that's the kind of hacks that we're specifically talking about not getting into with this, because that seems to be what most people are looking at when they look at hack videos, is they're looking at, like, what is this totally new game or totally wild thing? We're looking at more... what we're more interested in is like smaller, more subtle tweaks, I think.
Yeah, or just, you know, like restoring how the games like were like Japanese version difficulty, mm-hmm. stuff like that. Stuff that, I mean, like getting into completely new games. I mean, I think I say it in like what I have written in the script so far is like. We're generally not huge fans of user-generated content.
Right.
And it's, that kind of falls under that same thing. Like, Sonic 3 Complete, I mean, that totally makes sense. Like, in a lot of ways, it's... The idea is stuff that could, like, possibly, like... actually exist.
Yeah. I mean, I think my whole thing with like user generated content is like,
Kathleen Delacorte says, right. Like the SNES Chrono Trigger with PS1 cinematics. That's a great example. I think that's pretty cool.
Oh, that's that like on the SD2 SNES.
Yeah. Like that's kind of, that'd definitely be a cool thing to mention.
I saw like, Mitch B gave $2. Thank you. Ask, will you do a meetup in NC? I assume he's probably specifically talking to like when you're here.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's really going to be possible with the limited time we're going to have, but so, there was like a convention somewhere in North Carolina. That someone was talking about a few weeks ago, and I can't even remember where it was or what it was, but someone, next time anyone is going to a convention in North Carolina, remind me that it exists well enough in advance that I can plan to go. Cause I don't even know what they're called. So yeah. Send us messages or send the convention organizers messages to tell them, you know, hey, what about My Life in Gaming? Have them come.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of hacks. I'm going to do the best to talk about all the ones that I can. What I'm going to do tomorrow is I'm just going to record from a bunch of different stuff and I'm going to write them as I go. And it's just like, I'm going to see what I can do with it. I'm going to do my absolute best to get as much in there. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of stuff that I'm going to miss, but I guess... If the subject is popular enough, I mean, I could definitely do another one. Oh, JF, we'll stop. We'll if you're close to Game On, or my store says JF says we're invited to stop by his store Game On while we're in town for the Long Island Retro Expo. Yeah, we'd be into that.
Yeah, I'd love to. We really felt bad that because we met the guys that ran Brooklyn Video Games. Mm-hmm. We were in New York, and we're like, oh yeah, we'll go to your store. And then it turned out to be like a $65 Uber. And we're like, oh. It didn't happen.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, if people have specific hacks, like either send us a DM on Twitter, and I'll do as many as I possibly can. I mean, there's got to be tons that I don't even know exist, but yeah. I will do as many as I can. But I mean, if you can think of stuff,
you're not going to do like total game conversions or
I don't have any real interest because I would play that.
Do you think you'll leave out like translation restorations or something like that are interesting, but like, I mean, fan translations is a whole other topic.
Right. I mean, like I might
from scratch
a couple
translation.
Right. I mean, there might be a certain ones that I will think of. I mean, that I was thinking about like at least showing the Ease ones, but I think I'd just save that for an Ease episode. Mm-hmm. But I mean, stuff like Terranigma never came out in the US, but it has an official translation and it was released in Europe, and you like there's a 60 hertz version of it. You can play it with the, you know, you play it at 60 hertz in your in the official translation. You know, sometimes like they will take hard to read fonts and change them, like they actually did that with Terranigma. So it was kind of hard to read. Like the font is difficult to read. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot. I'm going to do as many as I can. And, you know, I'm going to write stuff and you're going to see how we can work you in as well. And then we'll do it. You know, the whole second half of the Fantasy Star episode was going to be me.
You were just like, that's too much me.
Yeah, that's like, I don't think anybody wants to listen to me for that.
I didn't feel entirely qualified because I've only finished playing the first game. But I felt like it was okay for me to talk about the analysis of the alternative versions because I wasn't talking really so much about the games themselves. And, you know, you did the lion's share of the analysis, but I also kind of had my eyes on it too. It's kind of funny that we like, you know, disclaim in the video that, hey, Fantasy Star was a review copy sent by Sega, but because we don't have a shared Switch account.
Yeah, you had to buy it.
I bought it. And so like half of the analysis was actually from a purchased copy.
Yeah.
But actually, I wasn't 100% sure I wanted to buy it because what's funny is you like kind of felt a little down on that version. And like when I was looking at the stuff you were showing me, I'm like, oh, well, I don't know. Some of this stuff has sounded interesting to me. So I think I like actually kind of brought a more positive spin back onto that section, because the only really major problem with that version I thought was the bad PSG audio, which hopefully maybe that can be fixed with a patch. Like I don't even understand how that happened. Like it's that's definitely a pretty big problem. But the only other
I didn't see it mentioned anywhere else either. And I think that a lot of the reason we haven't seen it mentioned anywhere else is because most people are probably playing it with the FM soundtrack.
Yeah, because FM, it's better. They just assume.
Well, not only that, or they just wanted. I mean, I know that I played through a good amount of the game without it, because I mean, with the FM, because it was just a different way to play the game. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe after finishing that episode, you actually, in the end, still played through that whole version. Like after the episode was done.
Yeah, I beat it yesterday.
That's amazing. That's cool though.
Yeah, I mean, It's very easy when you just are using the fast forward all the time.
Yeah, and very easy after you've played like all these different versions and you know exactly where to go.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
All right, is that gonna do it?
I think that's gonna do it.
All right, it was nice just having just going back to the old casual formula again. You know, just us.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's been a while. It's been a while.
But I mean, I guess
so. It's always fun to have guests on too.
I'm gonna be there. We'll do an in-person stream probably on the 12th then.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. So we'll have
probably
to think
the same day that I would release this episode. Probably, I'm gonna be.
Oh yeah.
Getting into.
Yeah, we'll have to think about what to stream if we're gonna make it anything like big.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll think about it.
All right.
All right. Thanks everybody who donated and hung out. It's fun. It's fun. Thank you. And all right. We'll see you next week.
Good night.